welcome tonight. Glad that you're here, and we're excited to spend some time in God's Word together. Frederica Berdemann, Grandma, had her three grandkids in tow, and she was taking them on a Saturday night in Wisconsin, taking them shopping with her. And they went by one of those game rooms. You know, you've seen them before, the kind of arcades. And her little three-year-old grandson, Robert Moore, she gave him all some money to play some of the games. He went running instantly to this big glass cube. You've probably seen it before. It's got the crane where you can, like, move the crane around and try to pick up something and, you know, pull it out of the little arcade thing it's in. Well, there was a SpongeBob SquarePants in there that little three-year-old Robert really wanted. And he tried and tried and couldn't get it out of there. And so, of course, Grandma said, "I'll get it for you." And she spun around to get some more money. And when she turned around, she heard this noise. Little three-year-old Robert said, "Oma, I'm in here." And he was inside the machine. So he took off his coat, and just like that, he somehow wedged his way through a crack in the glass in the machine and fell down into this massive pile of stuffed animals. Now, Grandma said that she was about ready to have a heart attack. She was shaking like a leaf. And you would think little Robert would have been beating on the glass, crying scared, but no way. She had never seen that big a smile on a kid's face before. He was inside there. He couldn't decide which stuffed animal to hug first. He was hugging SpongeBob, then Cookie Monster, then Elmo, just grinning from ear to ear. He was having the time of his life. Well, the people that worked there, the workers, didn't have a key for the machine. So he got to spend extended time in his wonderful place till the fire department came out. And they broke one of the locks, and then one of the firemen noticed there was a latch on the inside, and they walked little Robert through this. He stacked up a bunch of stuffed animals. They gave him a little screwdriver, and he was able to push this latch, and the door opened up, and Robert came out. Robert went home without his SpongeBob SquarePants, but he had had a great time. It's pretty neat. You think about that little boy. For just a moment of time, he was locked in Happy Land. I mean, all the cares of the world was on the other side of the glass. He was in a place that was soft and fuzzy and bright and fun. But it didn't last. Being locked in Happy Land never lasts, does it? Somehow the door always opens and the world pours in and life gets really hard. It's why I think that all humans have this longing to be locked in Happy Land. To just have every day of our life to be in a place where we're just smiling and laughing and just feeling really, really great. But we know that that's not going to happen in this life. Because eventually, again, the world, this fallen world, pours in. It's true for those of us who knew Christ. Man, you talk about locked in Happy Land. You talk about heaven forever with our Lord. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain. All those things have passed away. But we're not in heaven yet. And this place is not heaven. And Happy Land doesn't exist on planet Earth. But I've got some great news. There's something even better for you and I than being trapped in a machine full of stuffed animals. We actually can experience a true life of joy and rejoicing as believers in Jesus. Tonight, we're just looking at one verse of Scripture, just one. But this verse is so amazing. It's perpetual. It's continual. We've got to get a hold of it in our hearts to understand what the Bible is teaching us. It's Philippians 4:4, and it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Again, I say rejoice. One more time for me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now that verse is interesting, it's astounding, it's amazing, but it seems so impractical. It seems so illogical. Matter of fact, some would say it's impossible. Some might not say it, but they would be thinking, does God actually mean this? Is God kind of joking here? Or maybe just be easier to say, isn't that a cute, nice verse? Let's just go on to something else, because that's not real. It's not real to rejoice in the Lord always, always. And again, I say rejoice. No, folks, it's a fact. What God's word says is what God's word means. And we need to spend time on this one verse that is so important. And I pray God would help us understand what it means, what it doesn't mean. Reinforce it in our life if we've studied it before. Maybe hear it for the first time if we've never looked at this before. But to talk about rejoicing, that in a spiritual way, we really can be locked in happy land. We really can make the choice to rejoice. We're going through the book of Philippians. It's a joyous journey. It's a book about Jesus. It's a book about joy. It's a book about the joy we can have in our life when we have Jesus. Paul writes the church at Philippi. He loves them. He wants to instruct them on what they are to believe. And he wants to inspire them on how they are to live for the glory of God. When we come to chapter 4, the letter's starting to wind down. And it's like Paul wants to wrap up some loose ends. So he kind of throws out in chapter 4 some of these miscellaneous commands about our behavior in the Christian life, about how we are to live our life for the glory of God. And right smack in the middle of that is this command to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It's the rejoice choice. Will you and I, if we know Christ as our Savior, will we make the choice in our life, whatever we face, to rejoice? Would you pray with me? Lord, we want to thank you tonight for allowing us to come before you, to sing to you, to fellowship in your name, to pray, to give, and Lord, to spend time in your word. God, help us to understand what you mean in this verse of your great Bible. God, your word to us. Lord, help us to grow. Help us, Lord, to just more than walk out of here and say, I think I got that in my head, but God, to actually experience it tomorrow, tonight, a week from now. Lord, we know that none of us have arrived. Lord, we know that all of us are a work in progress. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that, Lord Jesus, we can grow. We can grow in this area of making the daily choice to rejoice in you. We love you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Real quickly, let me share with you three lessons for living from Philippians 4:4, to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Number one, rejoicing is a command. Rejoicing is a command. Look at verse 4 again. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That word rejoice is kairo. It literally means rejoy. In other words, it's joy over and over and over and over. It means to be glad. It means to be cheerful. It means to be well. It means to joy over and over and over exceedingly. All through the book of Philippians, if you want to know what this book is about, the times that Paul talks about Jesus and the times that Paul talks about joy. In Philippians 1:18, it says, do rejoice and I will rejoice. In Philippians 1:26, it says that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Philippians 2:17, I joy and rejoice with you all. Philippians 2:18, for this same cause also do we joy and rejoice with me. Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. God's people in the Bible were called to rejoice. In Matthew 2:5, we rejoice when the promises are fulfilled. We rejoice when we're persecuted for Christ in Matthew 5:12. We rejoice when the lost are found in Matthew 18:13. We rejoice that our names are written in heaven in Luke 10:20. We rejoice over God's mighty works in Luke 19. We rejoice in truth in 1 Corinthians. We rejoice always in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. We rejoice in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation 19. This phrase, this verse, Philippians 4:4, is a command. It's the late, great Dr. Adrian Rogers who said about rejoice in the Lord always. He said, God's will for us, this is God's will, it's a command. If we're not living a life of joy, we're living below our privilege as a child of God. Let me say that again. If we are not living a life of joy, we're living below our privilege as a child of God. It's a command to not do this, to not rejoice or to not have joy over and over and over again is to disobey the Lord. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not something we should consider. It's not something let's try our hardest. It's not something let's pray about. This is a personal, inclusive command of God to every follower of Jesus Christ that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And I am so glad what God commands us to do, He will always empower us to do. God would not command us to do this if it wasn't possible. But yet it seems so unrealistic. It seems confusing to rejoice. Well, one of the critical things, we must understand what rejoice means and what it does not mean. The rejoice, to joy over and over again, it's not saying that you and I are never confused. It's not saying at all that you and I are never sad. I mean, Jesus himself in Isaiah 53:3 was referred to as the man of sorrows. If it means for us to never be sad, then how could Christ be called the man of sorrows? It's not saying that our hearts can't ever hurt. It's not saying that we can't cry so hard we can't even shed another tear. It's not saying that. It's teaching us that somehow in the midst of confusion and frightening and sorrowful and heartbreaking times in our life, in the midst of all those things, we still somehow can have this joy over and over and over inside of us in our hearts. Joy does not mean we always have a smile on our face. I didn't realize this, but you can't smile forever. Your muscles just can't take it in your face. But the world record is a little girl whose name is Lisa Lester, Guinness Book of World Records. She smiled continually without stopping for 10 hours and 5 minutes. 10 hours and 5 minutes of smiling constantly. But then guess what happened? She stopped smiling. No one can smile all the time. This is not teaching us that we're to be fake, superficial people who put on this fake smile. Whenever we're around church and God's people, let's put on our fake, superficial, spiritual smile. It's not teaching that. None of us can smile all the time. There are times we rejoice when, yes, there is a smile on our face. I mean, sometimes Baptists look like a bunch of bulldogs that's been baptized in lemon juice. I mean, there are times we should smile because joy in our heart can be expressed with a smile. There should be times that, yes, we smile, but there's times we rejoice. There's not a smile on a face, on our face, but a tear on our cheek. But yet in our hearts, even though we're sad, on there's not a smile on our face, we can have a smile in our heart because joy means a settled peace in the Lord. It doesn't mean I'm happy. It means I have a settled peace in my heart from the Lord because of Jesus. We've talked many times the difference between happiness and joy. If you look in the Bible at the word happiness and you look at the word in the Bible, the word joy, they're really very similar. There's not that much of a distinction between them. But in our culture, there's a huge distinction in what people consider to be happiness. The command here, though, is not we're not commanded to seek happiness. Happiness and joy, again, are two different things from two different sources. Always remember that joy is based on the inside out and happiness is based on the outside in. Someone said it like this. What's the difference between happiness and joy? Happiness depends on what happens. And therefore, we call happiness, you could say it's happiness is what it really is. If your hap is good, you're happy. If your hap is bad, you're unhappy. But if you trust in happiness, you're going to become a victim of circumstances because your happenstance, your happenings will change. But if you see God never changes and the Bible doesn't tell us to rejoice in circumstances, the Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord. The first time I think I really experienced this in the deepest way was when my grandma passed away, my dad's mom. I only knew one grandparent. And we were really close to my grandmother. She lived on a farm in West Plains. And my sister and I used to go spend a week there in the summers. And And I remember when she passed away, I remembered her funeral service. As, of course, as a pastor, I've been in a ton of funerals, but I never experienced in my own life before. And on the outside of my face, I had tears. That was my grandma. I missed her. I knew that I wasn't going to see her in this life again. And there was just this, I don't know, this kind of emptiness. But you know what was strange? At the same time, I had a joy in my heart. Because I knew grandma belonged to Jesus. And I knew to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I knew that she was with him. And I remember that time sitting there just in a whole new, fresh way, experiencing the fact that I can have joy inside of me when maybe I'm not happy on the outside of me. We don't smile all the time. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. Do you remember that song? I hate even to bring it up because when I bring it up, some of you are going to be humming it for the next week. Do you remember that song by Bobby McFerrin? Don't worry, be... Ah, man. That's the first a cappella song that ever went number one. It was a worldwide smash, sold 14 million. Critics said that it was the key to how you can deal with things in life. It won a 1989 Grammy Award, the number one song of the year. Don't worry, be happy. That's a catchy song, but it's not very good advice. None of us can be happy all the time. But I want you to hear me, because of Jesus, we can be joyful all the time. We can't be happy all the time, but we can be joyful all the time. We can have a settled peace in our hearts because we know we belong to Jesus. How do we do that? Well, that's the next point. Not only is rejoicing a command, but number two, rejoicing is in the Lord. Rejoicing is in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Folks look in lots of places and lots of ways to try to find happiness and even joy. It's like, have you heard of the Setsubun in Japan? They do it. It's a festival they do like February 3rd or 4th. It's one day before the starting of their springtime. There's this ritual where they throw roasted beans around one's house in temples and shrines across the country. When throwing the beans, you're supposed to shout, "Devil's out, happiness in, devil's out, happiness in." And afterwards, you pick up and eat the number of beans, which corresponds to your age. And that's supposed to bring you joy. That's so complicated, I couldn't even be happy about it. There's another article that studies have shown. Now, this is really a good one, that if you want joy in your life, eat chocolate. It makes you clear headed and tranquil. Yes, I love these kind of stories. That if you eat just a little standard size milk chocolate piece, it can improve your joy and clear headedness by up to 30%. There's a chemical in it that does something to make us feel happy. But man, oh man, there was another study by the Journal of Affective Disorders that said once you come off your chocolate high, you're going to feel worse than before you ate it. Man. And all these fragrance therapies and stuff, like if you smell lavender and lemon, it makes you happy. I'm going like, really? There's only one source of joy, and his name is Jesus Christ. There's no other way to get it. Happiness, yeah, we can get happy. And there's nothing wrong with being happy. We should be happy about things. And we're going to be sad about things. But I'm here to tell you, you can stop looking. The joy that your soul craves, you're not going to find it in the next guy or gal that comes into your life, that perfect relationship. You could have the perfect job. You could have all the money in the bank you want. You could have incredible health and you don't have the health struggles that you're going through right now. And you still would not have joy. Joy has only one source, and it's Jesus Christ. The answers of all of life issues is Jesus. It's Jesus alone. You see, to rejoice in the Lord always. That word "in" It's a sphere, it's an atmosphere, it's an environment that we live in to where we can rejoice. I've shared before, it's like those little hamster balls where you put the hamster inside the ball and he rolls all over your house. The hamster is existing inside the atmosphere, the environment, the sphere of that hamster ball. You and I are to exist inside the sphere, the atmosphere of Christ and Christ alone. That's why Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy," he says, "may be in you, that your joy may be full." He said that in John 15:11. He says that my joy will be in you. When the moment when you said yes to Jesus and I said yes to Jesus, we were in Christ and Christ is in us. And when we became in Christ, Christ put his joy in us. It's Jesus in us and the joy of Jesus in us, that our joy may be full, overflowing. Now, he said, "These things I have spoken to you." What had he previously spoken to them? Well, in John 15, in verse 1 and following, he gave the great example that he says that, guess what? I am the vine and you're the branches. And if you're connected, if you dwell in me, he talks about bearing fruit. And isn't it interesting that joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit? In other words, what Jesus is telling us here, that rejoicing is in the Lord. If I first know Christ as my Savior, and then I realize that Jesus is in me, his joy is in me, and as long as I'm abiding in Christ, when I am in Christ and I'm surrendered to him and I'm submitted to him, that I literally every single day of my life, whatever I face, I can find joy in the Lord. He's placed his joy in us. Joy is not something we work up. Joy is not something we take a class about. Joy is not something we meditate on. Joy is not when we lock ourselves in away from the reality of life and lock ourselves in a little thing full of stuffed animals. Joy is produced in us because we are in the Lord and the Lord is in us. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Some Christians are not finding the Christian life to be all it should be. Why? Because Christians, if we try to find joy in the world, it won't work. If we try to find joy in Jesus and the world, it won't work. But when we find joy in Jesus alone, it will work. The greatest way I can help you and help myself to not be miserable, joyless Christians is just this little piece of advice. Don't try to live in both worlds. It'll rob your joy. It's hard. Alexander the Great had everything the world could offer. And when he conquered all the known world, he was sitting in his tent crying. And he was asked why. And he said, "There's nothing else to conquer. Joy will never be found in this world. Joy is found in the Lord." Joy, again, is not those outward circumstances, but the inward Christ. We rejoice in Jesus, in his person, in the work of the cross. I really believe this. It's impossible to think about Jesus and not rejoice unless you're not saved. Let me say that again. It's impossible to think about Jesus and not have some joy in your heart unless you've never been saved. We think about him. We dwell with him. We make the choice to focus on our Lord. Real life, I mean, there's sorrow, there's pain. Absolutely, there's tears. Life has depressing thoughts and life has distressing situations. Absolutely, we're not denying that. But we can overcome that by turning our thoughts and turning our hearts to Jesus who is in us. Realize the truth that we're saved and we belong to Christ and it's settled forever. We're new creatures. Have the knowledge that all the promises of the Word of God are true. Have faith that God is in control and we can trust Jesus no matter what. He knows what he's doing. We know when we look to the future that all this is temporary and heaven is our home. And we can have confidence that yes, we're in tough, distressing, unpredictable times, but God's going to use all those things for my good and for his glory. And we can make the rejoice choice. We can look at the Lord. We can turn our eyes upon Jesus. Think about that old hymn. I mean, listen to the words. "Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Through death unto life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more has dominion, for we are more than conquerors we are. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to the world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. And it's a choice. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. The book of Hebrews, it tells us to fix our eyes upon the Lord. That's a choice. Colossians tells us to think about things that are above, not below. That's a choice. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Rejoice in the Lord again. I say rejoice. The rejoice choice. It's a command, and it is in the Lord. And we must make the daily choice to turn our attention, to turn our hearts, to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, and all that we have in him. You know, the world is full of cheap imitations. Watches, sunglasses, clothes, knockoffs, all those sort of things. It looks like the real thing, but it's cheap. It's not. Anything the world offers you or offers me to try to fill the joy that's needed in our life is just a cheap imitation. True joy is found in Jesus Christ. Joy is not the absence of sadness. Joy is the presence of the Holy Spirit. The world is seeking joy and can't find it because it's looking in all the wrong places. Christians, you and I aren't seeking joy. We have joy because Jesus sought us. He saved us. He's in us. He'll never leave us. So rejoicing is a command. Rejoicing is in the Lord. Third and finally, rejoicing is to be continual. Number three, rejoicing is to be continual. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The Greek tense of verse 4 is crystal clear. It's not occasionally. It's saying continually. Joy over and over and over again. And then to add like icing on the cake, rejoice in the Lord always. In other words, it's to be continual in our life. Then Paul says, by the way, again, I say it, rejoice in the Lord. Always means at all times. And he says it again, always, again, at all times, continually. Always, again, at all times, rejoice in the Lord. I mean, Paul can't emphasize it anymore. This is a command that tells us to unceasingly, anywhere we're at, whatever we're facing, we can rejoice. Again, that does not mean we smile. It does not mean that we're happy. It may mean we're crying. It may mean we're filled with sorrow. It may mean we grieve. But outside of the circumstances, because of Christ in us and because we are in Christ and because of the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us, we can have a settled sense of peace in our hearts, whatever situation we're in, continually because of Jesus. Again, some would say, this is like the sweet by and by. This is not the here and now. Rejoice always in my home. Maybe would you see how my spouse treats me? Or have you seen, do you know what it's like to have rebellious teens? Rejoice in my home. Rejoice in my job. Do you know that I have the grouchiest, most nasty boss on planet Earth? And I'm supposed to rejoice always in my job? Rejoice in the nursing home? Where my loved one can't even be home anymore? Rejoice in a hospital room filled with tubes and buzzers and alarms? Come on, it's easy for you to say this, Paul. You're an apostle. Didn't you like walk on water, or was that Peter? We're just regular people. How can you say always? Think about Paul. This letter that he wrote to the church at Philippi, he has outside enemies who's trying to pressure him to water down the gospel and live a lawless life. Inside, there's division within the church. He's a prisoner of Rome. The guy that says rejoice always, again I say rejoice, is a prisoner chained to Roman soldiers in Rome. Think about Paul's life. He's the one who said rejoice. He said in 2 Corinthians 11, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. This is a guy who said rejoice always. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. He's been beaten with the whip, in prisons more frequently, in death often. 5 times I received 40 stripes from the Jews, minus one. He said, rejoice always. Three times I was beaten with rods. He said, rejoice always. Once I was stoned. He said, rejoice always. Three times I was shipwrecked. He said, rejoice always. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. He said, rejoice always. In journeys, in perils of water, perils from robbers, perils from my own countrymen, perils from the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And besides all these things, daily is the deep concern for the churches. This is the guy that said, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Always means always. It's not a fake smile. It's not make the best of a bad situation. We hurt, we cry, we sorrow, but in our hearts, Jesus is still there. Heaven is still there. Our salvation is still there. And we turn our eyes upon Jesus. We have a settled peace in our hearts. It's a willful choice. A willful choice. Will I turn my focus of my heart on my circumstances and lose my joy? Or will I turn by the Holy Spirit's power, the focus of my heart, on Christ in me and have joy? It's the rejoice choice. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know why we can say rejoice in the Lord always? Here's the answer. Because Jesus is always. Jesus is always. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. R.C. Sproul said this. Brings us back to the matter of how we can be joyful as a matter of discipline or of the will. How is it possible to remain joyful all the time? Paul gives the key, rejoice in the Lord always. The key to the Christian's joy is at its source, which is the Lord. If Christ is in me and I am in him, that relationship is not a sometimes experience. The Christian is always in the Lord, and the Lord is always in the Christian, and that's always a reason for joy. Even if the Christian cannot rejoice in his circumstances, if he finds himself passing through pain, sorrow, or grief, he still can rejoice in Christ. We rejoice in the Lord since he never leaves us, forsakes us. We can rejoice always. What a witness to the lost world when they see our real tears and they see us say we don't have all the answers and they see us genuinely grieving and hurting and struggling, but in the midst of all that, for the glory of God, they see a settled peace in our hearts. May not even see a smile on our face, but man, they'll see joy in our hearts. Habakkuk said, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, the fields yield no food, though the flocks be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet, the rejoice choice, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. This Friday, Dad had some appointments at the VA and we were there together. And I'm sure you noticed this, Dad. It was the gentleman that took you back for your test. And this guy, man, he was just beaming. The smile on his face, the kindness in his demeanor. It's like you just instantly know the guy's got to be a follower of Christ. And Dad witnessed to him. Dad, we didn't know where he was at. Dad was back in the room witnessing. He witnessed to him. And this man talked about how his wife led him to the Lord. How his wife led him to Christ. Now he came to Christ and how his life was changed. And that guy was just filled with so much joy. Because that's the difference Jesus makes. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The reason why we can rejoice always is because Jesus is always, always. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that, Lord Jesus, if we have you, we have your joy. And when we have you and we have your joy and we yield ourselves to you, Lord, the circumstances may be hard, the tears are real, but in our hearts, in our souls, thank you for the settled peace and the joy that you can give us. Thank you, God, that there, yes, there are many, many times we smile and we laugh and we glow and we sing. We're excited because of you, Jesus. And even in those moments of sorrow and sadness and struggles, nothing can take our joy away because, Jesus, nothing can take you away. Lord, thank you. So, Lord, tonight, are there some who would say the reason I don't have joy is I don't have Jesus? God, I pray that right now they would come to you and call upon your name. Thank you for your death on the cross. Thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin you offer to all who come to you and call upon your name. So, Lord, there's one here that says, I don't have joy because I don't have Jesus. God, how I pray they would turn to you right now. Lord, if there are your followers here who would say, I don't have joy even because I have Jesus, because I'm focusing on my circumstances and I'm not focusing on Christ. Lord, thank you for your patience with us. Thank you that none of us have arrived. Lord, help us, grow us, strengthen us to make the rejoice choice, to look at you and to realize the joyful Christian life, obeying your command by your Holy Spirit's power, is for our good. And ultimately, God, we know it advances the gospel for your glory when people see the difference that you make in our lives. God, we know this world is not happy land, but we thank you. There is a land coming of no sorrow, pain, death, heaven with you forever. What joy that will be. Thank you, God. That joy in heaven is a joy we can experience right now, this day, Jesus, because of you. We ask all this in Jesus' name.